If you want to look at something interesting in Psalm 46, which we're not looking at in detail this morning, but the psalm I just prayed through, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and verse 11 are describing things about God and about the world. In verse 10, that be still and know that I am God verse, God breaks in. So if you're in a situation this week or at the moment, and you want to just have God break in, describe, like in Psalm 46, truths about God and truths about the situation that you find yourself in, and then ask God by his Holy Spirit to do verse 10, to help you to be still and know his presence with you, his divine presence. Over the last few weeks, we've been walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We've been learning how we ourselves can multiply fully devoted disciples of Jesus. We've thought about prayer. We've thought about repentance and belief, persevering. That's it, I've written the wrong word. About loving one another, about making disciples, about giving, about being baptized. And now this week, we're thinking about the instruction to gather as God's people, as his church. On Thursday, we had the honor of 60 children and teachers and parent helpers and things coming into this building from a local school to find out about this church building, the building we use as a church, and also do similarities and differences with the parish church over the road. And one of the questions was, what is the church? Because I kept on saying and correcting them when they said, in your church, you've got a cross.
No.
In our building, we have a cross. And it wound them up a treat. But by the end of the time, these children understood that the church isn't the building. It's not a place. Jesus didn't die would give himself for a building. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, Paul writes, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus didn't love the hub building. He likes it. He asked us to build it. But he didn't give himself up for bricks and mortar. He gave himself up for a people. And it might be that because the church is full of broken people like you and me, like each of us, sometimes we can have a negative view of the church. And maybe on a Sunday afternoon, you don't just have roasted preacher, but you have roasted church as well. So-and-so said this to me today. We sang songs I didn't like. Or he wasn't wearing a tie today. Or different things that you have issue with the church. At a wedding, when the bride walks in, very few of us would say, doesn't she look awful? Boy, she's ugly today. Look at the dirt on her. We don't point out the sin of the bride when the bride walks down the aisle. We look at the groom who hopefully isn't just standing there shaking, but we look at the groom turning round with joy on his face at the beauty of his bride. We see the bride walking down, trying to keep it all together and hold on to the nerves, but we just think, wow, you're beautiful. Scripture describes the church as the bride of Christ. And I hope that during some of the things that I'll share this morning, we will understand that we as the church should be thinking more positively about the church, the bride of Christ, but also that God will help us in his strength to grow into who we are called to be. I was on a camp once down in Devon, and one of the leaders said, "Jesus is great, but the church is pants." And I agreed with him. And in the news, time and time again, the church is reported as being a broken group of people. I want us to actually raise our understanding and description of the church and be more positive about us or positive about her. So I will describe the church in a few moments as how we should be and who we are, even if in your mind you think, well, I don't feel that. The church is the most beautiful expression of Jesus here on earth. It is the vision of Christ's body in a world that needs Christ. It is Christ's reflection in the lives of people like you and me, made up of broken, sinful people who have discovered the Saviour. When the church embodies Christ and adopts his purposes and priorities and seeks to live like he lived, holy yet humble lives, the church is the hope of the world. It is a colony of heaven in a country of death. It is an army in God's kingdom, a movement of Jesus' followers that under the power of the Holy Spirit will keep moving forwards, seeing life upon life transformed by the grace and love of Jesus and the power of God. Often we will use the expression, the church is a family, a brotherhood, God's household, a fellowship, where people are called together in unity with something that is thicker than water. The blood of Christ. That expression, blood is thicker than water. Definitely Christ's blood is thicker than anything that could divide us. His blood unites us. The church is a beacon of light in a world of darkness. It is a pillar of truth in a society of questions and lies. Someone asks you tomorrow, what did you do yesterday? Will you say you went to church? Or will you say, I gathered together with other beacons of light. I gathered together with pillars of truth in a world of questions and lies. No, we will use the expression, I went to church. Because we gather together, and that's what Jesus... The word for church that we see in Matthew 16, verse 19, I think it is, when Jesus says, I will build my church, he's saying, I will build my ecclesia, my gathering. I will build the people that gather together in my name, the united people in a divided world. So we often use that word church for when we do gather together, because the word church, ecclesia, means to gather. So it's okay for you to say, I went to church yesterday. But you could say, I was the church yesterday. Because I gathered together with my family. Or I was the church yesterday. Because through our prayers and our praise, we lifted up the name of Jesus and asked him to shine his light in a dark world. Or on Tuesday, or on Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, when you gather in smaller expressions of church, you seek to do what Jesus describes the church as through verses in Scripture, descriptions I've just given, and you say, yeah, we're the church, rather than I went to church, and leaving it like that. Church should be one of the most exciting things that we do in our week. It's where we get to remind one another of the grace of Jesus, of his power and love, of his wonderful mercy. If someone says, "What is the church?" how will you describe it to them? Often we can say the church is this or that is that, but it's helpful to understand what makes a church a church. I've used some churchy language, identifying the ecclesial threshold. We need to know what makes a church and what a church does in order for it to be a church. The church circle is the gathering, the ecclesia, and it is formed and empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit, the little flame there. And through verses in Scripture, we can see that these are instructions from Christ to his people. If they gather as a church, these are the things. Water, symbolizing baptism, a sign of turning and believing in Christ. Bread and wine, symbolizing the celebration of communion, remembering Christ's death and sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. The pound sign, symbolizing sharing possessions and money in order to meet needs. Heart. The church is to be a loving community where Christ's love is expressed and visible. The Bible, the book there. It's the word of God being explored, explained, and lived out. Person kneeling in prayer, reliant on God and expectant on his Spirit. Hands in the air, passionate worship, sold out for God because Jesus is Lord and Savior. Arrows, sending people out in evangelism and building God's kingdom. And faces, leaders are identified, equipped, and released. Maybe there are things there that you think, oh, I didn't know that that was an instruction from Scripture for the church. Or we do this or that. Or maybe you're watching online and your church is different from Gold Hill and you're looking at this and saying, well, we don't do that in our church. Look at Scripture and see what it says about what a church is and what a church should do. This is the ecclesial threshold, the bare minimum of what a church should do and be. How big is it? Where does it meet? Scripture doesn't define that. In terms of size, if you have a community of two or three, you could do all of these things. I say two or three because if you're just one, identifying leaders, you could start a church with just one. You could send yourself out. You can do a lot of those things. But is it really a gathering if you're just gathering by yourself? No. And the beautiful thing is Jesus gathers together a diverse group of people united by him so that a divided world has a united church, and the united church can minister to a divided world and express and explain who Jesus really is. Size, anything above 2 or 3. And I would say that if we increase the number more and more, it gets more and more difficult to do that effectively. So, for example, in this room, maybe there are 180 adults. How many of you know how Richard's week was? Rosie, do you? That's good, because you're close together. But maybe someone who sat over there doesn't know how Richard's week has been. And we need to be smaller and not just gather together in a crowd. When you go to a music concert or a sporting fixture, you gather together, and you might know some of the people around there, but you need to have a smaller expression if you're to actually get to know people. This cannot happen effectively in a big crowd on a Sunday morning. We can do some of those things, but not all of those things. There was a book in the 1980s called Small is Beautiful. Some books, you don't need to read the book, you just need to think about the title. The book talks about how the small units can actually be more effective than just the large things. Small is beautiful. I think if we're to make disciples who multiply and to be his church, small is actually going to lead us to larger, but not necessarily as a crowd on a Sunday morning. If Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, I don't think he meant just more people on a Sunday morning gathered together in one place, because people gathered together on a Sunday morning doing what we do in the way that we do it cannot fulfill everything that is on the screen behind me. So I want you to consider something this morning. This is a suggestion, an invite to think. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds as a church, as people of Christ. And not stop or not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. There are some people who haven't come back on a regular basis since COVID. 5 years. Is it because they weren't in that community of gathering but were just coming to a crowd on a Sunday? And they weren't actually part of the church being fully expressed. They were just coming to an event on a Sunday morning. A question for you to consider. How can we encourage one another? Because Jesus is coming back. And the writer to Hebrews says, and all the more, keep on encouraging people all the more as you see the day of Jesus' return approaching. As I said a few weeks ago, the time has come. Jesus is coming soon. We need to be a people who are encouraging one another to be the church, to be doing all these things in community with one another, to spur one another on. One of the best descriptions, and it's a description and a prescription, so a passage that describes what the early church did and prescribes what the modern church should be like. is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of breads and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Notice that they were in the temple courts and in their homes. Notice that it wasn't just on a Sunday, but they met every day. Notice that the people that gathered together were baptized believers. Just to say in verse 41 of that chapter, it says, those who accepted the message that Peter had called people to in terms of repentance and baptism, receiving Christ, receiving forgiveness of sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, for all those people, they were baptized, verse 41 of chapter 2, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. How could 3,000 people meet together? Not in the temple courts. They had to meet sometimes in a crowd, but then be disciples together in smaller communities, as this passage says, in their homes. At the beginning of this year, we set out growing deeper, going further, growing deeper with God, growing deeper in Him and worshiping Him and loving Him. But I just put a question mark next to the going further bit. Yes, we sent out a faith sharing team last weekend. Yes, we're sending out an evangelism team to Spain in the summer. But what if God is calling you to go further and to start a church? Maybe that excites you, as I said it. Maybe you think, oh, that kind of excites me, but really scares me. This morning, I'm changing the question mark to an exclamation mark. One, because of a need, and two, because of what God has said. Let me start with what God has said, first of all. Over the years, God has put on this church a heart and passion to be a church-planting church, a multiplying church. And over the years, we have started to do that, but then it has fallen by the wayside as a vision at different times. And 2 weeks ago, I had a prophetic appointment. I got in touch with an organization called Kingdom Living Ministries. And I met with some people who didn't know me, but they knew Jesus. And they had been listening to Jesus on my behalf. And as we prayed, they shared what they sensed God was saying, and they shared it in such a humble and loving way. And one of the things that they said was that, Stephen, you believe God is calling you to blow the trumpet of the vision for church planting again. I'm thinking, you don't know which church I'm part of. And the fact that we did have that vision and that calling, but it's fallen by the wayside. And they didn't know who I was or what I did and things before the call. And I'm saying, okay, what is that about God? And what they said, they sensed Jesus saying, is that we need to just cast the vision again. Make the call. Because in Judges 5, verse 2, and this was the verse that they shared, It said, when the princes in Israel, when the leaders take their lead, and the people willingly offer themselves, when the vision is cast, people will follow and respond. So I believe that God is calling people in this gathering, listening online, and people who may not be here this morning, but will hear about what God is saying, to actually be part of building his church. That's what I believe God is saying. And this is the need. Let's do some maths together. The capacity of this building is about 300 per gathering. Over the road in the parish church, and I'm just focusing in on these three churches in our village. And some of you may say, well, what about St. Joe's? I can talk to you in more detail, but I believe that these churches will be saying about how to be saved based on Christ's grace, not based on being baptized into the Catholic Church. We can talk some more about that after the service if you want. So these three churches, capacity of St. Peter's Parish Church is about 140. Capacity of the Gospel Hall up the road, about 60. Therefore, if each of them do one service on a Sunday, that's 500. The population of Chalfont St. Peter is about 13,500 people. Currently, if each church holds two filled services in their buildings each Sunday, then 1,000 people can gather. If 10% more people in our village wanted to attend church on a Sunday, we would need at least double the number of gatherings. And those gatherings cannot be dependent on me or James or the elders, but it's dependent on us. The need is there. You might think, well, people don't want to. Or maybe they haven't been invited to meet Jesus yet. Maybe they haven't responded to Christ. Maybe we haven't had that moment where we have shared the good news of Jesus with them, and therefore they're not wanting to gather because they haven't heard about Christ. We cannot go further by staying where we are. If you feel that God is calling you to plant, to start a new expression of church so that others can come to meet Jesus and disciples can be multiplied through that gathering, in a moment I'm going to ask you to do something incredibly brave. And that's to stand up. And you might think, oh no, that's just a bit too scary. If you have a little kind of inkling, feeling that God might be calling you to this, I want you to stand and say, God, I'm scared senseless. I don't know whether I'm hearing you correctly, but I'm going to trust you because you're the God of highest heaven and you have a heart for the lost. So I'm not just going to gather here on a Sunday morning. I'm going to go and do something different. And whether that's a micro thing in your home or in a cafe or in a pub, wonderful. Or if that's a macro thing, a larger thing, in a hall somewhere, in a room here somewhere, wonderful. The need is there. The calling is there. Will we respond? So, to help people with this response, could you please all close your eyes? And I'm going to pray. And if you're up for this, I want you to stand when I say amen. And if you're not up for it, that's okay. God may not be calling you in this moment to be a planter. Father God, thank you that you have made the church your family with you as Father. And we as your children. Lord God, I know and believe that you are raising up people in this church family to start new expressions of faith, new expressions of your church, not limited by size or confined by what has already gone on, but that will fulfill your descriptions, your calling of church, in order to see your kingdom grow and people respond to you before you return. And I recognize, Jesus, that for some you're calling, but there are questions of how. And there are questions of who will go with me. And there are questions of what or where. The invite that you have for us this morning, Lord, is to follow you. And as people respond to you, I recognize that they've already responded to that following of you as they became your disciples. And now they choose to follow you by saying that they're willing to go and do something different, do something new to help people meet with you. So with people's eyes closed, could you stand if you feel a nudge from God to do something different, do something new in his name? Thank you. Thank you. God, in the people standing, you've just shown me that I didn't hear you wrong. Thank you for their faithfulness, willing to stand now. Help us to equip them. Help us to encourage them. Holy Spirit, empower them. Enable them. And may you bring many people to yourself through their willingness to follow you in this. For your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. We're all going to be standing in song in a moment. If you have stood, I would love you to just give me your name. Well, I probably know, I just didn't have my pen in my hand ready to write it quick enough. But please make sure that I've got your name and we'll be in touch and we will help equip you and explore the call and see what creative design of his church God has placed in your heart.